sorry, we had to come back from some technical difficulties. We're going to finish up a little bit of talk on the AD trade, and then we'll get onto some more Mavs-centered talk, what this podcast is about. Okay, Jaren, so talk to the listeners. What so you just dish your thoughts on like what the Pelicans could do. What kind of problems do you think the Mavs are going to face? And do you think the Pelicans are really a potential playoff threat this year? They still need to have some pieces to do that.
Yeah, of course. Like, if you have Zion, like, assuming he's the player he's going to become, you're automatically in playoff.
Damn.
Talk, at least.
Very high on Zion.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great player.
Yes.
Like, what more can you
say? Especially with the defensive backcourt they could have with Lonzo and Drew.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's going to be a defensive plus offensive team because, I mean, Zo's just going to pass the ball.
Yeah.
Average, like, 20 assists a night, beat John Stockton's record. I mean, come on.
what's it? I'm pretty sure the record. The all-time record. I'm pretty sure the most assists in the game. I know it's Scott Skiles. That's right.
Scott Skiles. I know it wasn't
when he was with the Magic.
Yeah, yeah. That was in like 80.
I think it was in the 90s.
In the 90s? I thought it was like 88 or something.
I have no clue. But anyways. So, you know, with the Pelicans, you have a squad that's, you know, they could go different routes this summer. They could either pursue a little more long-term of an adjustment, or they could try to, you know, trade the fourth pick and change for a potential player. And, you know, there are rumors they're going to go for Bradley Beal. I don't know how realistic that is, that the Wizards would just give him up like that for, you know, a fourth pick in a weak draft class outside the top three. But, you know, I think that the Pelicans definitely will be a viable team next year. And the Mavs just can't take them lightly when we play them for sure. And
exactly.
The West is going to be stacked as hell next year. And there's no Warriors, so who knows? Like, who's going to come out of the West?
Warriors. I mean, what? KD and Klay is going to be out. But you still have Curry. Curry's balls out.
I know. I'm excited to see that, you know, just to see Steph actually, like, have to carry a team.
But, like, for real, I mean, like, on the Mavs side of this trade, so Randall reportedly is going to decline his contract or decline his offer, whatever, from the Pelicans.
Mm-hmm.
And that puts him in free agency.
Dallas native. I think it's because, you know, with Zion, he's kind of the odd man out because they're, you know, body wise, they're kind of similar players in a way. Obviously, Zion's more athletic and is way more potential and whatnot. But Randall and Zion, you know, defensively kind of play a similar role. Both undersized guys who are going to try to bang down low, you know, but can still have the quickness to guard guards. And I don't know if I think he wants to go to a system maybe where he's going to actually be featured and may not have to come off the bench.
Yeah, and, like, if Randall becomes a defensive presence, and we have KP, honestly, to have those blocks.
Yeah,
but
he just needs to get boards.
Let's say we pick up Patrick Beverley and Julius Randle this offseason. We have potentially – and get Admiral Schofield with a 37th pick. We have potentially 3-4 dudes that can put a body on Zion, and we play them – it's 4 times a year, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we play them 4 times a year. I mean, I'm not saying load this team up for literally just one player, but
– Yeah.
Like, that player is going to be a game changer, and if we can stop him, or at least – at least put in a dent in his stat book, then I say it's a success. And Patrick Beverley, I think, is going to get in his head.
Oh, yeah. How do you see Zion doing first year? Is he going to have, you first know, year, as good of a year as Luka or LeBron or a little under that, in your opinion?
First year, his stat book, like, stat taking book out percentages, I believe his stat book is going to look average.
Mm-hmm.
I believe his stat book is going to look average. But his percentage and the way he is on the court,
he's going to be very efficient.
Yeah, exactly.
The defensive synergy stats, shout out Isaac Harris, are going to be treating him well. On the offensive ones are too. I think Zion, you know, his first year, I don't know against NBA level talent. How he's I think it's he's gonna have a more difficult time getting to his spots as far as like his little like mid range pull up game goes. I think he's gonna be able to get to the rim still because you just don't see dudes like that, right? But
yeah,
I think I could see him averaging like 15 and like 7 in his first year, something like that, you know?
Yeah, and like it's Zion Williamson. Like he's gonna be the favorite to win rookie of the year. He already is.
Yeah,
but
you never know.
Average rookie stats, and let's
for
say
for a top pick, not average rookie stats.
Oh yeah, average. Yeah, okay. Sorry, average top pick.
Yeah.
I don't really know a player. I mean, John Morant, I feel like is gonna average more.
Yeah,
maybe.
I really can't see RJ Barrett slipping into that role. I mean, he's a scorer, but I think he may have.
I don't even see him. I mean, it depends really what team he joins. Like the Knicks, he's gonna start right off the bat. But
yeah. Unless the Knicks get now we know for sure KD's probably not going to go to the Knicks. Sorry to get off topic, but looks like the Mavs kind of starting to win that trade now, like just for sure.
Yeah. That is actually a new perspective I did not think about. With KD's injury, that honestly I think solidifies even the Mavs, if they get Kyrie.
Yeah,
that solidifies the Mavs win.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like they're going to get Kyrie at this point. Yeah.
Yeah, and it doesn't even look like they're going to get Kyrie. Yeah. I feel like the Nets are going to pick him up, and they're going to drop D'Lo's contract.
Yeah, me too.
And there's rumors that he's going to end up in Phoenix, but
who? D'Lo? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody on Instagram and Twitter? I've heard a lot of like Mavs fans craving for D'Lo.
They're, no.
I want to speak on that real quick. Think about this, right? Obviously, Mavs fans are like, oh, Kemba Walker, secondary and primary ball handler with Luka Doncic, yay! And I get that, right?
Yeah.
D'Angelo Russell
is literally ball hog definition.
Yes, exactly. He is not a secondary playmaker. He is the playmaker.
Sorry to cut you off, but the reason why he was not successful in LA is because he was not the primary guy.
Yeah. If you... In a system, the kid needs to get surrounded with really good role players that can help lead his squad far because he's going to be handling the ball every time. It's almost James Harden-esque what he's doing, just not at that kind of rate. You know, he comes up, dribbles it up every time, and he's going to try to make a play, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's how they're going to succeed. And I'm not saying that's terrible or whatever, but that's just how he plays. And I don't think that's going to work. You know, with the Mavs.
No.
Kemba Walker, Luka. Different story. He can play off ball if he has to. It hasn't been seen in Charlotte, but he's more dedicated to that role. D'Lo, I feel like, would be kind of, if you will, a crybaby in that role. I just can't, you know. And then on the other hand, D'Angelo Russell, 6'5 point guard, has all the tools wingspan-wise to be a kick-ass defender, be able to defend 1-2 on dudes in the West. You know, he's not terribly slow. He's not the most athletic dude, but he should be able to defend these dudes, right? But yeah. it's a big effort thing for him on defense. Same with, kind of James Harden. He doesn't go out, and he's not going to be able to lock down Western point guards. And that's why he needs to be surrounded by, like, 3-and-D dudes and, guys like Jared Allen who are going to give him boards and blocking at the center position. But he's not going to – in my opinion, he's just not going to be able to provide what a Mavs point guard needs. Yeah, sure, Kemba's undersized. But he's going to at least give effort on defense and, like, try to, like, go get in the passing lanes, get some steals, and,
Yeah, like, I honestly don't know if Kemba's going to be a Mav. I mean, that's up for discussion, of course.
Yeah.
And we don't know how he is because he's never had a number – I mean, you can – like, he's never had a number two guy. Of course, in the roster, you have to have a number two guy, but he's never really had a real –
For that matter, you'll have two other stars on the team.
Yeah.
So we have there's definitely some, maybe there's some eeriness to that, and you guys may want to look down upon that. But I think that, I think he'd excel in that role, but that's just me personally. He's just a willing dude. He wants to win. You can tell.
Or the Mavs could go the safe route. And either way, I'm fine with.
Yeah, either way. You take the Kemba route.
Or you take the Patrick Beverley
Take the Patrick Beverley and other dude's route. I'm cool with either one, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. Like I think either one, Mavs win. You know, they get more wins out of
it. Yeah, they get exactly. I mean, but you already have Chris Aprozingis. That by itself can that's like 5+ wins on your roster right there. Exactly. Maybe 10. What forgot the Mavericks went.
Yeah, I mean, sure. You have young guys like Brunson and of course JJ.
Yeah.
JJ's like Brunson's mentor.
Yeah.
But I think if we pick up Patrick Beverley, he's going to mentor Brunson and give him that dog type of attitude and give him that relentless defense type of attitude. And that is what we need. We need that dog attitude. We have
Jalen Brunson, you know, he may not be the fastest dude either. Same as Patrick Beverley. Patrick Beverley, make no mistake about it, he's 6'1". He doesn't have a crazy wingspan, yet he goes out, defends Kevin Durant, and yeah, maybe he doesn't hold him, but he's at least containing this dude. Like, you just don't see that. This dude's everywhere. Like, he's
no, right. The thing, and also what plays into the containing part in playing D is getting in their head, and he is the best player in the league.
Patrick Beverley, Locked On Mavs said it best. Do you hate to have to play against, but like if that guy's on your team, you love him. So
exactly. Yeah. I remember, quote unquote, we played the Clippers last year, and Patrick Beverley was getting all in Luka's face.
Oh, he was all everywhere.
Pissed off because that's my boy, Luka. I mean, my number one dude, and I was getting all pissed off. And
yeah, I remember that game.
Quote unquote, saying I effing hate Patrick Beverley.
Yeah. Wow. Shocker. I would. And now we all of a sudden love him and post about him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the dude is a dog. And, like, you don't – especially in today's NBA, you don't see that a lot. Like, that guy, oh, my God. Like, he would be in the books. If he played in the 90s, like
– yeah, he just imagine that kind of, like, John Starks-type point. Or
he belongs in the 90s, honestly.
Yeah.
But hey, I like to see that.
He belongs on the Mavs squad too.
Hey. He does. But he did say, "quote." I think he said this.
Yeah, when asked about playing with like Luka Doncic, hey, it's like the free agency process. I'll do what you know. I want to explore my. He definitely said, and from what I've heard, you know, give it or not, maybe not the most credible dude in the world. My boy Mike Fisher, he and you know, I know Locked On Mavs jokes about him. But, you know, well, whether he has validity or not, I think this is true regardless. I think the Mavs are looking at, hey, let's go chase Kemba real quick. But Patrick,
if we don't get him,
we're going to have a meeting with we'll have a meeting with Patrick Beverley regardless.
So,
we wait till, and if Kemba doesn't work out, go sign Patrick because Patrick Beverley's not going to have a meeting with the Clippers, I think, until. After he's meeting with like 5 teams within the
first couple days. By that time,
most of the big fish are gone. So assuming Kemba would have signed by that time, and then we have an opportunity to you know really get him.
Like I honestly think Patrick Beverley is going to be the guy that goes fast. Patrick Beverley is a lower type of guy, a lower point guard than Kemba Walker, but I. Like, Kim Walker is just a humble dude. Not saying Patrick Beverley isn't at all. I mean, he's a great dude. But I feel like he's going to hold out his options until late in the summer, maybe.
I could actually see that. Maybe not late in the summer, but, like, more than, like, 4 days or something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like, later days.
I just think that Patrick Beverley, like, what he's been, his activity on Twitter and stuff lately, like, he seems like he really wants to enjoy free agency. You got to remember, this is a dude who's made, like, $30 million in his NBA career. Like, he hasn't made jack crap. He's been on minimum contracts. He's on, like, making, like, $5 million a year the last couple years. Like, okay, obviously, it's more than the average person. We get that. Okay, but he hasn't had, like, anything compared to, like, what he deserves.
Yeah.
And I can really see him wanting to enjoy the process of free agency. He really doesn't, I mean, he's, you know, one downside of him, he's, like, 30, 31 years old, right? But he's going to, that, you know, at the Mavs, get him for, like, 3 years. His defensive dog won't go away, you know. I'd really wouldn't care. I really don't really care as much about the age. I just think, you know, it could be. I kind of care about the money, you know. Would I hand Patrick Beverley $15 million a year? It's kind of a stretch, but anything within that like $10 to $13 million, in my opinion, is a bargain.
Yeah, like. The guy deserves money. Not much, but he deserves money. And I feel like this can be the first offseason he gets that kind of money.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's going to be a guy that doesn't go for the big money. I feel like he's going to get offered one big contract to play. I don't know. He's just
– like with the Bulls, because he's been
– Well, I think if he gets offered a contract by the Bulls, I say he takes it because I'm pretty sure he said this. He said, like, I'd love to play in Chi-Town. I feel like he could bring that team some success, and I bleed red because he's from Chicago.
But yeah.
Like, I would not like to see him in a Bulls jersey. No. But
I mean, the Bulls are on the rise. I agree with that. But I don't know how, like, I don't know if they're going to be making playoff noise for a while.
Yeah.
Which kind of sad because, like, it doesn't feel weird, but, like, because the Bulls have, like, been out of it ever since D-Rose, and I just kind of missed that team.
No, I want to be honest. Like, I forget about them.
I do, too, yeah. Okay, this is going to sound crazy. So, I was really bored. I was taking a quiz on Sporkle the other day. Shout out King of the Fourth Quarter. And it was a really basic quiz because I was really bored. It was name all 30 NBA teams. I knock off all 25, 29 easy, right? And there was like 2 minutes left in the quiz, and I just couldn't remember the Bulls, and I just ended up getting the question wrong, and I was like, "What?"
Like, dang, you forgot the 30 NBA teams?
Yeah, no, I got all 29. I just didn't remember the Bulls.
Wow.
Yeah. So if that speaks to anything, how much
fake fan?
Shut up. Oh yeah. That's. And it just kind of taught me. I was like, damn, they really fell off. Like, I used to, like, I considered the Bulls probably, like, one of my top five favorite teams back in the 2011-2013 era, you know?
Yeah, they're a likable team.
They're a likable team. But, you know, as far as, you know, Fred Hoiberg ain't been doing his job. You know, they've had some management issues. It's just kind of gone down south from there. Obviously,
it's just fair to say they haven't had a lot of success. I mean, of course, they haven't had a lot of success, but they're on the rise. I think it's going to take them a while. Mm-hmm. I hope they don't go like a Suns route or a Kings route. I mean, nowadays Kings, I like them taking, but
mm-hmm.
2 years ago Kings, I don't want to see them take that route. They're too good. They have too good of a past to take that route.
Yeah. So like by a 2 years ago Kings route, like what do you mean? Like trading?
Like 2 years ago the Kings were lost. I mean, they drafted De'Aaron. No, okay. Three, 4 years ago. The Kings were literally lost. Like,
they just had Boogie and nobody else.
Yeah, and they didn't know what to do with Boogie. They were a losing team, and they had mm-hmm. one of the best players.
So what would your fear with the Bulls be? Like, who would they have and nobody else? Would it be Markkanen, Levine?
Yeah, Markkanen. Or, okay. I think Markkanen. Yeah, I think Levine. I mean, let's say they take the losing route like a Suns or Knicks team. I hope they do not have that dumb of a front office, but
yeah,
the Bulls take, like, have had
pretty bad front office in recent years.
I think they go like they try what the Warriors did, but with like a lesser extent and different type of players. They like trade Levine, like Monte Ellis, and keep Markkanen or would be Curry in this instant, and see what they can do. And I don't think anything happens.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. I mean, the Warriors, they had some pretty insane luck. You know, it is about how you scout and whatnot. But, like, all three of those, you know, Curry, Draymond, and Clay are all through the draft. So,
yeah.
I mean, there you go. But, yeah.
Should we do DeAndre Hunter? Admiral Schofield.
We could talk about him a little. Trying to think of other – I mean, is there any final thoughts on the finals or the AD trade that you want to let?
I'm going to get in some Mav stuff. But, I mean, congrats to the Raptors.
Yeah, once again.
And good luck, LA. Don't screw up your free agency.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. I guess for the next 10 minutes or so, we'll try to talk about maybe a couple options that the 37th pick. If I say anything here, I give all credit to Locked On Mavs for listening to those. I do not watch that much college basketball. I'm going to be blatantly honest with you here.
No, I watch college basketball, or I don't watch college basketball up until
March Madness, just like
every like other... 2 weeks before March Madness and all of March Madness.
I got you. So we'll look at three different dudes today. Okay, so first guy we're gonna go look at.
I don't know who the third is. I'm assuming Chiminu Anoku and Admiral
Schofield. Chuma Okiki. And,
oh, shit. I'm sorry.
We'll do him, Admiral Schofield, and Nick Claxton.
Nick Claxton. I know
the Georgia point center. You're gonna be ready for this dude, okay?
All right.
So we'll start with Nick Claxton, my boy. What's it? Shout out. Go check out our Instagram at Mavs House. Me and JB. Even though he doesn't take much care into it, we do run it. And yeah, we're gonna sneak this right here because he probably won't hear this part of the episode. It's hashtag better than Mavs and Masterminds. So hashtag go check it out. hey Drew, if you're watching this, bro, no ill intentions. So yeah. So I said so 85 times in the last 2 minutes. We're going to look at Nick Claxton, a little draft preview on him. Essentially, he's kind of a long, lengthy center out of Georgia. Power forward, whatever. Very thin dude. 6'11", 215.
Oh, God.
Yeah. He shows maybe that he's going to be – he's kind of an end-of-the-first-round type dude, but he's like one of those dudes who you could really see sliding. Definitely needs to put, like, more weight on. He's going to get bullied in the paint, some of his weaknesses. Not the biggest offensive threat, if you will. He shot 28% from three, and that's at the college level. So, I mean, he can shoot if he has to. 64% from the free throw. He's not the best shooter. And sometimes he gets passive on the offensive end of the floor and, you know, he's just looking for, guards to get him the ball and whatnot, whence he should be, you know, more aggressive as like a role man or whatnot. Some of his strengths, very long, athletic kid, can get up there and block shots. You know, definitely, obviously the automatic comparison, is the Nerlens Noel. I think at the next level, he's going to have a hard time getting boards because he's just going to get banged around. Because in college, you know, not everybody's a 6'11 center. But he was able to get 9 boards a game in college, which is impressive given his frame. I can't remember if this is true or not, but I think there were, like, motor issues at some times where he just didn't look invested, you know, especially on the offensive end. He's a really quick center, obviously. He should be, given how skinny he is. He can obviously protect the rim really well. He has a 9'2" standing reach. That's big.
Dang.
Yeah. He can guard multiple positions. You don't see that out of centers and power forwards usually in this day and age. You know, if he could put on muscle, that could be an elite skill at the next level. He won't get banged around and still be able to guard. That'd be huge. He can get some – he's an okay guy in the post game. And dad played in the NBA, so Jalen Brunson vibes, even though he's way younger. Dude's only – what's it? Let's see. He's only 19.
Why is he in the draft then?
Like, I don't know. Yeah, they're saying that they were surprised that he came in and enlisted. Not the Army, but he did go into the draft. And there's a decent chance like he'll go top 25. So there's no guarantee that he's there when the Mavs take him. Just because that potential, in my opinion, they have the NBA comp as Taj Gibson, but I really don't get that kind of vibe.
Taj Gibson, I don't get.
I don't get that because Taj Gibson can bang down low.
All right, well. Like, anyways, like, I mean, from what I've heard, I haven't seen the guy play. I've heard of him, but
and even
haven't seen the guy play.
What's it? And yeah, he shows some abilities to handle and pass. So he'd run like point guard for Georgia sometimes and like go up the floor and like almost like Jokic-esque, not on that level, obviously. But it's weird because he's like a really athletic dude doing this. Normally you see like low post men like Marc Gasol or a Jokic type facilitating and running offense at some points. Nick Claxton is like a Nerlens Noel body doing that. And, you know, so what are your thoughts on this dude?
Like, I don't know if he fits in the Mavs because as a Maverick, like, looking at our team right now, not assuming anything in free agency, looking at our team right now, we don't need a guy like him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. You know,
like, I think we need a defensive presence down low.
Right, you do got to remember with these prospects, though, like, some of these dudes may not come in and, like, play right
away. Oh, yeah. No, I know. It's a weak draft
class. This guy could definitely be spending some time in Frisco. But like he has potential, and that's like the thing you're really harping on, because you see a dude who can handle the ball at 6'11". Like, it's kind of like maybe what like you wanted Nerlens Noel to be coming out of college.
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong, like, potential, honestly, I mean, with how far back we are in the draft and having this draft class, like, potential is probably for a 37 for a 37 pick, his potential has probably got to be one of the biggest,
I mean, like, go-tos, I guess. On, like, what you're looking for, to be honest with you. Because if you want a guy who's, you know, you're like, oh, we're at 37, we want like maybe a complimentary dude who could maybe actually help play a role on the team right now, you're looking at like an Admiral Schofield dude, right? But if you're like, we want to take more of like a future dude, we're going to have Luka and Kristaps for a long time. Maybe this dude could pan out. And if you see somehow like Nick Claxton here in the second round, I mean,
why not take him? Let's say, I mean, I think Admiral should be our number one guy. Yeah. But let's say he goes a little early.
Yeah.
And Claxton's still on the board. I mean, why not? Like,
yeah. I mean,
man's got potential from what I can hear.
He's young, has potential. I mean, if it all panned out well, come a couple years, the dude, if he put on some muscle, He already rebounded a high clip in college. He could translate that to the next level after putting on some muscle and whatnot. He could be like a really good center. And yeah, he only shot 28% from three in college, but that's at least having a 3-point shot as a big man. He can still work on it. He's only 19. I mean, so if I'm the Mavs and I'm sitting there at 37 and Admiral Schofield's off the board, I'm going to take Nick Claxton. And if because I doubt he slips this far, because a lot of teams are going to bark on that potential. You know, you just don't see 7-footers who go around, who are athletic, who can handle the ball and whatnot and make some plays. And that'd be just that. I think that would fit them because he can rim run too, given his athleticism, right?
Yeah.
And he'd fit the Mavs offensive system pretty well if he works hard and puts on some muscle and whatnot. But I doubt he'll be available where the Mavs are picking. But if he is, and my boy Schofield's off the board, I don't see why they couldn't take him, you know? So, yeah, those are our thoughts on that. Crap. This is getting kind of late, so we'll just do one.
I think some technical difficulties have happened.
Oh, the freaking audio is going out again, but we're just going to power through it. I'm going to put my ear up here and listen. Okay. What'd you say?
Wait, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. For a second, I couldn't hear you. So I can hear you now, though.
Okay. Yeah, I can't hear you barely at all. But I can hear you, but it's the glitches came back.
Okay. We'll try and wing it.
What?
We'll try and wing it.
Yeah, we'll try to wing it. Okay. So, Jaren, we're going to go on Admiral Schofield. From some of your first impressions of him, what do you think this guy – do you think he could be an immediate impact player for the Mavs, and, like, what kind of role would he play?
Immediate, I think it's going to take him, of course, like a year to develop into the guy we want him to be. But,
you know, but he's definitely more so than, like – he's going to come in more so than, like, a Nick Claxton and contribute more.
Yeah, like, he's gonna contribute more in his first year than a guy like him. And, like, he has the body of a, like you said, like a DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
Like, he's a guy that has a really muscular body. And like
240. He can bang and get up. That's pretty essential. It's not even that he's slow. He just gets flat-footed on defense sometimes. So I don't know if I trust him. You know, he's like going up and defending elite point guards. Like Kemba Walker, per se. He'd probably get beat. Right? But yeah. You could put him on, like, maybe a slower, like, even like a Luka Doncic, even though he's on our team. And, I mean, he has the strength to just push that kind of dude out of the way. And, you know, that's big because
these dudes who maybe not as fast, but
feel like elite scorers, like you can push those guys around just with that kind of strength and they not let them get to their spots. And that's like huge in the NBA.
Yeah.
Offensively, he can pull up and hit a mid-range shot, knock down the three. If he has to, he's still developing. He developed a three-point shot every single year he's been in college. So that's, I think, a big deal. Also, he has he has elite athleticism for how big he is. He had probably go search up his poster dunk on YouTube during the I think it was the NCAA tournament, but just bodied a dude. And he's kind of more a small forward shooting guard hybrid, but I think in the NBA he'd play more of like a small forward role because of how just big he is.
Yeah.
And he's still really laterally quick on offense. You'd like to see him get some draw some more fouls than he has as of recent. He only averaged 2.3 free throw attempts per game, but the dude can play his role, and he's like really, and he has a nice motor. He's really bought into winning. Him and Grant Williams led that NCAA team to one of the top programs in the nation. And it's not like they were like five-star recruits or anything. Him and Grant Williams were just dudes who just came out and worked every day. You know, Admiral Schofield has a nice little post-up game, kind of Wesley Matthews-esque. And I know I hear some sighs right now, but it was better than that. He just very similar to how Wesley did it, but he actually was more efficient. He has a really solid basketball IQ. And if you're sitting there at the Mavs, that's the kind of like role player you want to put around like Porzingis and Luka going in the future, especially if, you know, he really transpires and becomes a player that like you want him to be. And if he's there at 37, that's like my first option. Obviously there's going to be some other dudes that are good too, but he's like really peak level. And he's not the playmaker that this dude is, but like if he ever became that, he could be like a Draymond Green type, you know?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And that would be huge. And probably knock down a 3-point shot later. So, and I know you fell in love with him too, Jaren. Just really the type D1 organization. Do you have any other thoughts about him?
I mean, I'm always looking at how can he defend a bigger player type of thing. And I always am going to put Zion in that example.
Yeah.
He's
both coming in this class at the same time, both yeah. Southwest Division.
Like
he's like very similar to Zion in,
from, yeah, he fills out
in terms Zion. Of body type, you know?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, he fills out Zion.
And he could really get in Zion's head if you put him in the game, in my opinion, because equal strength level. So Zion's not going to be able to just bully his way to the basket and dunk on everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's big, you know?
Like, he could be a good guy coming off the bench.
Yeah.
If Rick.
You know, he's a really, like, almost like weird type of player. He's really strong, obviously, but he's not like just go straight to the rim, you know, LeBron type dude. Finesse to his game at the same time.
Yeah, like, I mean, even let's say Justin Jackson starts at the two, and
in the future.
Yeah, in the future, and we're playing the Pelicans. He's a guy that could fill out a two role as a starting player, like if he pans out to
mm-hmm.
like a really good role player,
mm-hmm.
he could fill out the starting number two spot. And this is solely for like defending Zion and bigger players. Mm-hmm. He could play and defend that role, I believe.
Yeah, but it's not even just Zion. It's like other small forwards.
Yeah,
he may not have the speed to stay with some point guards that you look for in like 3-and-D wings, like maybe like a Dorian Finney-Smith, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to be able to push around dudes who are similar to like his dimensions. So like maybe not even Zion, throwing like, you know, Paul George.
Yeah, not
LeBron, but he'll get in his head still a little.
Yeah,
Paul George. James Harden. He can contain dudes like that on the defensive end.
Yeah, George is a bigger dude, but I think Schofield can honestly bully him.
Yeah.
On down low.
Yeah, it's just the kid has the game that's not, and he's an older dude. He's been in the league, but he's improved each year he's been at Tennessee. And like I said, him and Grant Williams led that team to one of the top breakers in the nation, and they just kind of fell short in the tournament. But he's a winner, and like he's the type of dude that you want if you're gonna like build off this Luka and Porzingis thing to go win championships. Now I know we're thinking really big with him right here, and who knows, he may never actually like turn out to all this, right?
Yeah.
But he like just the measurables of like, you know, where he's fallen in the draft.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we did two draft profiles today, and we also got in a little free agency talk, and you got your AD and and a little finals talk. So, if you guys have any suggestions? Go to at Mavs House and tell what you want to hear us talk about. Comment your thoughts on the podcast if you actually listen. If there's anyone that both y'all listened to both parts and got through both of them, you guys are some real ones, because we would not expect that, just to say the least. If there's anybody listening to this right now, I'm surprised.
We love you.
Thank you. We love you. Please, and you know what? If you're listening right now, if you guys actually made it this far, we're going to give you Jaren's at, okay? Because I guarantee you, if the viewers are this dedicated, Jaren, shouldn't they have your Instagram?
Exactly. All right.
Exactly.
I'm going to go ahead and
give it to you. You heard it. Jaren. At Jaren Boslow. Go follow him. His beautiful we're not going to do that in the podcast, but him and his beautiful girlfriend, go check them out. Best couple channel on YouTube.
All right, I'll take the compliment.
Yeah, just take it and, you know, run with it, Jaren, because it doesn't come around like this with, you know, Mavs, the type of fan base Mavs House is built. You know, just the great dudes at that organization.
And by the way, Jaren is spelled Jaren.
Yes, not Geran, the common mistake. Even I made so at the beginning of me and Jaren's relationship. So, yeah, go ahead and do that. And thanks for listening to the Mavs House podcast. And let me sync the outro.
Free ballin'!